Welcome to the City View Church podcast. We hope you enjoy today's message.
We all want to find peace in life, don't we? But it seems so hard to find. You might be having one of those quiet moments at home, sitting there in your peaceful place, just you, your thoughts, and the toilet. And all of a sudden you hear that. Mom! 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 What do you need? Where's the jelly? You thought it was an important thing. You thought all their whole life was about to fall apart, and in the end, it was something so simple. Peace. I remember one time I was in college and I walked in and I had a ton of roommates, and there was a total of six of us. And I walk into the shower and they're all just having this nice conversation. I've had a rough day. One of my jobs at college was I worked construction there. And so I had just finished a job. I just went in. I was getting ready to take a nice shower. Turn the water on nice and warm. I get in and all of a sudden my roommates start laughing. Because one of my roommates named Sean, who now is a pastor, had put bouillon cubes into the shower head. My peaceful shower turned into a beefy stew. I remember a road trip with my family. We're all cruising right along, listening to country music. That's what we listen to on road trips. My boys actually had a peaceful time. My three boys, believe it or not, having just a joyous time. It's peaceful in the car. And then in the middle of Moss Bluff, Louisiana. Anybody ever been to Moss Bluff, Louisiana? Yeah, you don't go there on purpose. It's 2020, it's June of 2020, and our car just starts to shake and rolls right into a shop. Peace. It can be hard to find, can't it? We all want peace in our life. We search for it. We pursue it. Sometimes we find it in moments, don't we? We find peace in a relationship until the relationship hurts us. We find peace in our finances until the market crashes or some unexpected bill comes. We find peace in the gym or in our health until an injury happens, or we get that unexpected health result. It's in those moments that the peace that we had, we realize was just temporary or dependent upon our circumstances. We realize that no amount of counseling, money, relationships will ever give us the peace that we truly want. So how can we find peace in a world that's full of a mess? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we all are searching for peace. Some of us in here have found it, and some of us are still searching. So, Lord, I ask that this morning that you, Lord, that for those of us that are searching, Lord, that you would allow us to find it today, and may we realize that true peace is only found in you, Jesus. Jesus, we thank you for dying on the cross for us. We thank you for rising again. Jesus, I pray that you would do a work in churches throughout our valley today, God. Lord, I know some churches had to pivot because they were planning on outside services and you planned on rain. So, Lord, I pray for peace for them. Lord, I pray for my friends, Andrew and Tyler, as they're getting ready to launch two services today. God, give them peace. I know the stress they're under right now. Lord, I pray for my friend Carlisle at Journey Church. Lord, bless them today. Lord, bless us here at City View in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, hey, good morning and welcome to City View. My name is Jeremiah. I'm the pastor here at City View Church, and I just want to say he has risen. Yes. He has risen indeed. And we are here to celebrate the risen Jesus Christ because we don't believe that he just died 2,000 years ago. We don't believe that he just stayed there. We don't believe that he was just some guy. I was listening to this Ben Shapiro interview the other day about what his belief was on Jesus. And he's like, I don't believe he was a prophet. I don't believe he was God. I don't believe he was the Messiah. I believe he was just some rebel that died for a lost cause. The problem is, yes, he was a rebel. Jesus was 100% a rebel, but he didn't die for a lost cause. He died for the lost because he loved us. But he didn't stay dead. He rose again because he wanted to bring us to himself so that we might have peace in life. You see, it was just about 2,000 years ago that a group of guys found themselves in a similar situation as us, peace lost kind of moment. They were called the disciples of Jesus, 12 followers of him. They had been following him for 3 years, watching him do so many miraculous things. Miracle after miracle, healing the sick, the deaf, the blind, the lame, setting people free from sin and troubles and shame. And he was giving them, those guys, and all the people that came in contact with them, he was giving them purpose. Purpose for their life. The disciples thought they had found peace. Even Jesus had told them this in John 14, 27. Jesus said, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you, not as the world gives to you. Do not let your hearts be troubled, nor let it be fearful." Jesus offered them peace. They thought, finally, the leader we need. They thought, finally, this Jesus, this guy that we're following, finally, it's the guy that we want to follow with our life. He's a leader. He's going to do what needs to be done. Finally, the one that will lead this country the right way. Finally, he's going to give people their rights back. He's going to give people what they need and what they want. He's going to give women opportunities. He's going to give every race the chance to be who God has called them to be. That was their thought. They thought Jesus was coming to be this conquering king. But then in a moment, all their hopes and all their peace came crashing down. Have you ever been in that moment when all peace evades you? It's like everything was going good in a moment, and then in just a matter of a second, everything starts to fall apart. Have you ever been in that moment? So can you sympathize with the disciples of that moment? See, Jesus had been telling them all up to this point when he's getting ready to die on the cross. He'd been telling them, "Hey, guys, I'm going to die for you. Hey, guys, I'm going to die for you. Hey, guys, I'm going to die for you." They ignored that part because we like to ignore warning signs sometimes, don't we? This morning, I got in the truck, and guess what warning sign I got? Low fuel. And I thought, like many of you, I can make it to church. So I start driving and I thought, man, as soon as church is done on Sunday, we're probably going to want to go out to eat. And I'm not going to have to stop and get gas on my way. So I listened to the warning sign and I got gas. But there have been times when I didn't listen to warning signs. I didn't get gas and my car died. See, Jesus was giving them warning signs all throughout. Hey, guys, I'm going to die. Hey, guys, I'm going to die. Hey, guys, I'm going to die. But they didn't listen. So in a moment, all their hopes fall apart. Jesus gets arrested. Jesus is condemned to die. He gets hung on a cross that looked like this, between a murderer and a thief. And then he dies. And they thought, well, I guess he's just a liar. I guess all he did was just for fun and for a moment. Now they're having to run and hide for their lives. All peace was gone in their life. Then 3 days later, Sunday morning, a group of ladies, some friends of theirs, go to the tomb, go to Jesus' tomb where he had been left, hoping to find somebody that might roll away the stone that was blocking the tomb. And they go and they find two angels there telling them, Jesus is not here, but he has risen. And then as they go to leave, one of the ladies named Mary, she runs into this guy who she supposes is the gardener. And she asks him, she's crying, she begs him, she says, please tell me where they have laid him and I will go. And he says to her in a very sweet voice, in that moment of her peace being gone, he says, Mary. It's amazing at what can happen in a moment when somebody who says your name and it's the right person, the amount of peace that it can be given. And in that moment, when Jesus says to her, Mary, all peace overwhelms her soul. She goes running back. She tells the disciples, you guys, you'll never guess. Jesus is not in the tomb. He's alive. And being guys, they want to prove it themselves. So Peter and John, they run. John tells us, according to his writings in the book of John, that he ran faster than Peter. It was his PR for the day. They go into the tomb and they see two angels, and the angels say, he's not here. They go back to the rest of the guys and they said, well, the ladies didn't lie. He really isn't there, but we didn't see Jesus. Rumors are spreading that the disciples have stolen the body. Rumors are spreading that the disciples have done something so that everybody thinks he's really alive. The disciples are running out of fear. They're running, they're hiding. They're trying to do anything so nobody finds them. All they had to do was say, yeah, Jesus, he's still dead. Here's his body. That's all they had to do. All they would have had to do, under pressure, don't we usually tell the truth under pressure? Especially if you know your life is on the line. Every disciple died. John's the only one who wasn't martyred. Every single one died. Every disciple died for their faith in Jesus. Peter was hung on a cross upside down. The guys were killed by sword. They were killed by multiple. One was killed by a spear. Another one was eaten by animals. They all were murdered. So if the truth was that Jesus' body was just stolen by a group of 11 disciples because the 12th one had already hung himself and he was already dead. So if that was the truth, all they had to do to not hide, to not be scared, all they would have to do is say, yeah, here's his body, here's his body. But if you don't have his body because his body is not there, because it's risen, you can't show a dead body. So the disciples, what do? They hide. They hide. They hide in fear. Peace is gone. They feel like they've been abandoned. And here's where we find them in John chapter 20 on the day Jesus rose. It says in verse 19, so when it was evening on that day, that glorious day, that first resurrection Sunday, the first day of the week, and when the doors were shut where the disciples were for fear of the Jews, Jesus came in. He didn't open a door. He walked through a wall. How does he walk through walls? I have no idea. He's Jesus. He made all things. He can do whatever he wants. Jesus came in and he stood in their midst and he said to them, peace, shalom, be with you. And when he had said this and he showed them both his hands and his side, the disciples then rejoiced when they saw the Lord. So Jesus said to them again, peace, shalom, be with you. As the Father has sent me, I send you. But Thomas, one of the 12, also called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. So when the other disciples were saying to him, we have seen the Lord, he didn't believe it. He said, but unless I put my hand in the nails in his hands and in the pierced side, I won't believe. 8 days later, so Thomas goes 8 days without seeing Jesus. Still in unbelief. Still without peace, still without hope. It says after 8 days, his disciples, Jesus' disciples were again inside, and Thomas was with them this time. And Jesus came, the doors having been shut, again he comes through walls, not through a door, and stood in the midst and said again, "Peace, shalom be with you." And then he said to Thomas, "Reach here with your finger and see my hands." And he said, "Reach. And here's my hands." He says, "Put your hand in my side. And do not be unbelieving, but believing." And Thomas answered and said to him, "My Lord and my God." Thomas, in a moment, he tells us that Jesus is so much more than a man who died on a cross. Thomas, in a moment, proclaims that Jesus is not just Jesus, but he is God. He says, "My Lord and my God." And Jesus says, "Thomas, you are blessed," but he says, "They are more blessed to those who believe who have not seen." Jesus steps in a room full of fear. And his first words to them are not, "Why didn't you believe me?" Anybody ever have to have that conversation with your kids, friends, family, coworkers? "Why didn't you just trust me? I told you I was going to be there on time. Why are you all worried? Why are you freaking out? Why are you so doubtful? Why? We can be so uptight." And Jesus was not that way. He didn't walk into the room going, "Well, duh, I said I was going to rise from the dead." He could have smacked them. I mean, I might have done that. That's why I'm not God. That's why I'm just Jeremiah. No, his words were, "Peace be with you." You see, when you allow Jesus into your life, no matter what storm you're walking through, he walks in and he says the same words again, "Peace be with you. Peace be with you in your dorm room. Peace be with you in your divorce. Peace be with you in your illness. Peace be with you in your heartache. Peace be with you in your doubting." Jesus walks in that room and he says, "Peace be with you." And in that moment, their souls were overwhelmed with peace. It was a peace that passed all understanding. These guys are still being hunted. Their lives are still in danger. Their situation had not changed. 10 of the 11 are going to die a terrible death in the near future. Their situation had not changed. What had changed was their perspective. Jesus was their peace. Everything he had said is now beginning to make sense. A statement that they had held about Jesus bringing peace, thinking conquering kingdom peace, they now realized it was a soul-filled Jesus peace. When Jesus said, "Peace, I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give you. Do not let your hearts be troubled, nor let it be fearful." Jesus said, "These things I have spoken to you so that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulations and troubles." And that is so true. "But take courage," Jesus says, "I have overcome the world." From this viewpoint, from this point on in their life, peace ruled their hearts. They had peace that didn't make sense to the world. A peace that in moments of trial, they still found a peace that kept them going and gave them joy. As we read their stories in the book of Acts, we see their stories of imprisonment, stories of persecution, shipwreck, illness, betrayal, and even to the point of death. Yet in each of those moments of their lives, they still found peace We see that they never turned from Jesus, but they turned to him and found peace. And this is the same peace that is true for us today. Because I know there's some of us in here where we need peace. You need peace in life. But finding true peace, it starts first with God. It starts first with making peace with Jesus. You see, the problem with finding peace in life through things like work, relationships, money, fitness, counseling, and those are all good things. But we have to solve the root of the problem. You see, when we find peace in the world, here's what happens. When you find peace in the world, it's all dependent upon as long as the circumstances are good. When we find peace in the world, it depends upon my feelings. How do I feel? When we find peace in the world, as long as we are in control. Who likes to be in control in here? Anybody? Yes. I have got a problem. We find peace in the world, and it works as long as when we have peace in the world, it does not allow for troubles. When troubles come, marriage starts getting tough, car breaks down, health results come back negative, you sit in that IEP meeting with your kids and you find out that things aren't as good as you hoped, they're not making the progress. It's based on our temporary feelings, and ultimately the peace the world has to offer fails. Because you gotta find the root of the problem. If you don't get to the root, then you will always be in an empty peace. Finding the root is key. I remember as a kid when we'd pull weeds in the backyard. How many of you ever pulled weeds with your kids? Your kids like to just pull the tops off, right? That's what we do when we solve our problems without God. You just pull the tops off. But guess what happens? The weed comes right back. Your kids try to help you. When they're little, it's cute and all. They're like, oh, it's so cute that you just made it harder for me. You see, my dad taught me. I don't remember how positive or whatever. I just remember learning that you got to pull the weeds out by the root. It's harder work, but it's the best way. You see, if we want to have true peace, we've got to get to the root of the problem. And the root of the problem is sin. Your soul needs peace. It needs peace with the Creator, and your Creator is God. That's your Creator. Whether you believe in God or not, you cannot look on this earth and not see that there's not a Creator. Nothing on our earth was randomly made. Nothing. The watch I wear, it was made by somebody, I think in Japan, with little hands and little tools. It didn't appear one day because a rock was crushed, and then all of a sudden all these chemicals came together and this big bang happened, and then all of a sudden my watch appeared and my wife bought it for me for Christmas. My suit the same way. See, God made each and every one of you perfectly. And Jesus came as God's Son to solve the root problem, which is sin. Because that sin separates us from peace with God. We all have sinned and we all fall short, and we're far from short from perfection. For those of you who have kids, you see sin on a daily basis on display in front of you. It's like the moment they can start doing anything, they sin. Those of you who are real with yourself, you know you've sinned. We all have done plenty of mistakes on our own. Hourly, minute by minute, day by day, week by week, month by month, if I were to add up all my sins, that would not be fun. But that's why Jesus came. Jesus died on a cross to take away my sin, my guilt, and my shame. He did the same for you. He did that for us. Jesus died to pay a price that we could not pay, on a cross that we could not bear, the life that we could not live. Jesus rose from the dead. He conquered death so that we could be set free from sin. And he rose to give us peace. And God says to you, will you trust me? You see, there's a difference between the world's peace and God's peace. The world's peace, as long as our circumstances are good, depends on my feelings, as long as I'm in control, does not allow for troubles. It's based on temporary feelings and ultimately fail. But God's peace, God gives peace whether my circumstances are good or bad. God's peace is based on God's truths. God's peace is based on him being in control. God's peace allows for troubles. God's peace is based on his promises. And God's peace always endures. It does not mean you won't have problems, because problems sure will come, but Jesus will always carry you through. This has been true in my life over and over and over again. In sickness and hurt, in financial troubles, I may get scared in moments, but as I look to Jesus, his peace overwhelms me. And I want to offer you that peace today. A peace that passes all understanding. A peace with your Creator and a peace for your soul. I don't know where you stand with God today. But my heart has been burdened for you. Some of you have been praying for by name. That Jesus would have a moment in your heart so that you might find the peace that you need. For some of you, you believe in Jesus. It's a matter of you just going to Jesus and saying, Jesus, I need to just make things right because I've been trying to take control and that's why I've lost peace. But for many of you, for some of you, I should say, it's a matter of getting to the root of the problem. It's trusting in God. It's confessing sins. And it's letting Jesus have control of your life. Let's pray. Lord, Jesus, thank you so much for rising from the dead. Jesus, thank you so much for bringing peace, for offering peace in a world that steals, kills, and destroys. Jesus, some of us in here this morning have just been going through it and we need a peaceful touch from you. Meet us now. But some of us, Lord, today, we need to make things right. We need to confess that you are God and that we are not. We need forgiveness of our sins and we need to get to the root of the problem, and that's our sin. That's against you. So Jesus, for those in here this morning that are pulling up those roots, Jesus, I ask that you would take their hand and pull that sin for them. And if you're in here this morning and that's you, you know you need to make things right with your Creator. You know you need to put your trust in him because you've been dependent on the world for peace for a long time and it's failed you. But you know that God wants to give you peace today. If that's you, and you want to become, as Pastor Mark shared a little bit ago, a child of God. Children of God walk in peace. That's what we get. It's one of the things that are just, it's a blessing. You know, when you're part of your family, there's different things that, you have. There's inheritance, there's blessings. Some of us, not as much so, but when it comes to the family of God, one of the blessings is peace. Another one is joy. Another one is hope. We still will walk through troubles, but there's a peace that we're given as we walk through them. So if you're wanting to go and become a child of God today, I ask that you pray with me. Pray these words. Dear God, I believe in your son, Jesus. I believe that he died on a cross for me. And I believe that he rose again. God, I confess I am a sinner. And I ask for forgiveness. I believe you are the creator. And I am your child. God, forgive me of my guilt, of my sin, and set me free of my shame. In Jesus' name.
Did you decide to follow Jesus while listening to this podcast today? We want to celebrate with you and help you with your next steps. Click the link in the podcast description to get connected with a pastor and your next step.
Thanks for listening. Don't forget to click the follow button and tune in next week for another great message.